Okay, I guess the first order of business is the adoption of the agenda, so if I could have a motion to that effect, please.
Sure, I can get it up.
Seconder?
I'll second that.
Yeah. All right, all in favor?
Yay.
Aye.
Motion adopted. The other, the second item of business, of course, is the election of a chair. Now, I'm willing to continue on, but having said that, every commissioner is entitled to stand for that office as well. So just as long as we're clear on that.
I'd like to put a motion forward that you continue in the current role. You do a great job.
I think he does, too. I'll second that.
Anybody else willing to stand for or wishing to stand for chair?
Gee, maybe Tony. I mean, he's just kind of coming in here cold.
Set him up.
Okay. If there are no other nominations, then I do need a motion and a seconder. You moved, I think, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I seconded.
All right. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Yay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to continue. The third order of business is the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. There's a motion, please.
I approve.
Okay. Seconder?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor?
Yay.
Motion carried. Okay. Number four, business arising from the minutes.
I just wanted to make mention that it looks like we lost Tony.
Okay. Can you pause for a minute? Would you like to pause for a minute till we get him back?
Yeah, we need Tony. Most of this is about Tom.
I think we should just give him a minute here. It looks like he was having technical difficulties.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Apologize. We had some technical difficulties. We lost our signal, so I'm just running off of my phone now. So anyways, we're good.
Okay. So, all right. We'll proceed to number four on the agenda, the business arising from the minutes. Tom, you've got a long list here.
Yeah. And I just make note, too, that we are being recorded, and the meeting is going to be posted online on the Town of Qualica Beach website. You realize?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so Tony, you are here, Matt. So we've been talking about your IT department, you know, doing new signs or maps, and there was some new branding coming for the town. And then your crew did go in and did an excellent job of cleaning them. And they look great.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was super. They went around and they cleaned all of the You Are Here map signs as well as the other interpretive signage that the society put in there. And so thank you for that.
Sure. I think the You Are Here maps still need to be properly sealed. What they did was they removed the plexiglass, cleaned both sides, but I believe they haven't siliconed around those yet.
No.
So that still has to be done.
Yeah.
And then once we get the wayfinding, the details of that, the grant that we've applied for and what we can do with it, then we can move forward with perhaps some new signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk with Brian about it. He realized when he first did them that, you know, when the plexiglass just kind of lies flat and there's no lip over the side, that, yeah, water eventually is going to get down in there.
For sure.
But they sure look great.
Yeah, they do. Quite impressive. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, the Wildlife Tree Snag sign. I think this is the third Heritage Forest Commission meeting we've had to talk about this. And I see that it's been pushed forward again to a council meeting. Boy, it's not such a big decision, really. I wouldn't have thought about putting one more interpretive sign in the forest, but I don't know, seems to be. This is our third meeting. We meet quarterly. So anyway, what happened, I guess, with previous council meetings is council didn't really understand what the sign was about. So, Tony, just so you know, at the last meeting, I brought the proposed wording to give to council just so they knew exactly what the heck it was. Right? So no big deal, but hey, let's do it.
Are you still waiting for approval?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
It's
I'll follow up.
6 months.
Okay. Sure.
And it's a nice thing, and I've explained to people, and just so you know what it is, it's a snag at the end of, or the side of the grassy area, that's over by the bald eagle nest that they've used for years, and the peak of that tree is where the eaglets first go on their first flight.
Nice.
They perch at the top of that tree and screech and scream and feed me, and so it's kind of a, and I wrote it in a way that was good for kids, you know, to kind of, it's a cool story. Anybody ever tell that story to them, oh my God, that's fantastic. I didn't know that. And so July is the month when the chicks, come and start to fly. And, so anyway, that's the gist of what that flight is.
Okay.
That's all. Kind of a fun thing. Okay. Hemsworth Trail and tree planting. You applied for grant funding.
I have, yeah.
Any word on that?
No, we're still waiting. I'm hearing that we will know by March, sometime in March. Here's another thing. There's another grant available through BC Hydro Regreening and Tree Canada. So I'm going to apply for a grant through that organization or those organizations for the same project. I can't see why there would be any reason why we couldn't, so I'm going to go ahead with that. I have till the end of February to apply for that grant, and I've applied for BC Hydro grants for many, many years, and I've always been successful, never been declined, so we should get some money from them as well, for sure, from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about feeding on the trail? Like as far as, you know, tree planting, it's not quite time for tree planting anyway. But is there any merit to, you know, Luke was of a mind that absolutely the town will put that trail in there, you know, with gravel and have it flat
right
next to the road. And it might keep the speed down on him, right?
Right.
What about proceeding on it as opposed to just waiting?
I'll have to check with my managers on that. Just a matter of staffing and funding as far as that goes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was hoping that we could do it all roughly at the same time and like start it and complete it, but I can check on that. Yeah, it does make sense to do the hardscaping first, for sure.
Yeah, because you'll have machinery in there.
Yeah, I mean, you will compromise it a little bit when you're, you know, planting all the trees and you're having machines run over the surface again, but yeah, it does make sense to just at least start the path and prepare the path before the trees get planted.
My neighbors keep asking.
Sure, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check into it.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
You're welcome.
We put a motion to council for a new metal bench along the Hemsworth Trail. People love those new benches, and there isn't one on the Hemsworth Trail here.
Okay.
And what the seniors tell me is that even though they can't walk the whole forest or whatever, maybe they can walk in as far as, let's say, the bench and just sit and enjoy and, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, we put a motion to council because, of course, there's funding. And, you know, of course, it requires a concrete footing and this kind of stuff, not just a case of, you know, throwing a bench in there. And so I see that's been put forth for the February 24th council meeting as well.
Okay.
Anyway, that'd be great. Removal of the windrow debris in the standing dead trees. So that was, as we talked about, over at the East Crescent Gate and the Hemsworth Gate. And the guys did a great job. You had a contractor go in there and do that. And they did a great job, and so that work's been completed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then we've got the, this will be the third Heritage Forest Commission meeting without a council member here. And so that has been raised, that that is a requirement of the Heritage Forest Commission that we have a council member present. Realize there's been some changes, right? So it's probably a case of just not having enough bodies to come to the meeting. So I guess that'll happen when it happens. Okay, I think that's it for business arising for the minute.
Okay, let's proceed to number five, then new business.
Okay, off-leash dog walking. So, I walk the forest every day, sometimes twice a day. With COVID, we've had a huge increase in traffic in the forest, which is great. It's really great. And there's just way more people in there than we've ever seen. They're walking in there for about 15 years now. Along with that seems to have come the idea that the Heritage Forest is an off-leash dog walk park. Because I see 2, 3, 4 groups every time I walk through that forest. And I've had a whole number of folks approach me and say, hey, these people should not be walking in this forest off leash. You know, as we know, the bylaw requires dogs to be on leash except for that area up by the Civic Center and the penned-in area out by the airport. And I've spoken to bylaw. I've spoken to Dawn a few times. Not sure what we can do about it. Some folks have suggested signage, and I've indicated, well, yeah, but it is signed now, along with, you know, stay out in periods of high wind and everything else. People aren't reading the signs. I'm not sure what to do about it. What Dawn had indicated is he's told me, and I agree with him, for me not to say to people, I don't want to be told to F off. And I have heard from other people several stories how they have mentioned to other people that they should have their dog on a leash, and they have been yelled at F off and worse. And so I've got some stories that there's no sense telling everybody about it because this thing's being recorded. but some not great experiences, and I think part of it is because of COVID, people are kind of uptight, and, you know, we're kind of all a little bit out of character or whatever. But that's why I thought I should kind of bring it up. Because some people are saying that they won't walk in the Heritage Forest anymore. They've been bitten by a dog as a kid. They love walking in the forest, but they feel very intimidated with a big dog running up to them. And, you know, they have a right to be in that forest. And we do have a bylaw. I've spoken to Dawn about could he go earlier in the morning or later in the afternoon, because those are peak times. And I don't know if it's, I know with the town there's talk of a second bylaw person. I don't know. It's hard to say, you know, what to do about it. It's a little bit disheartening in that when you do walk in the forest, like it's just time and time again, it's people walking with their dogs off leash. So it's become a kind of a known place, I think, to go walk with your dogs off the leash. And yet it prevents other people from the quiet enjoyment of nature as written in the Conservation Covenant that's on title.
I have a question for you, Tony. Does the town have a policy or an actual enforcement of the bylaws, or by enforcement, I mean ticketing people, or at least warning in the initial instance, and subsequent ticketing and for subsequent violations?
I can't confirm that, but I have heard of Don issuing at least warnings, for sure. I'm not sure about ticketing, but I will speak with Don about that, and I'll find out some more detail about if he's done anything different there, if he's changed up his inspection times, or ask him if he could at least maybe vary his times that he goes, and just sort of make it unpredictable. Like, if he shows up at the same time every day, people might clip into that and try to avoid him, right? So if he just shows up on, you know, random times, that might be a more effective way of dealing with it. Like you said, Tom, maybe early morning and late afternoons are the most the busiest times. But, if he just does periodic inspections, I mean, just with one guy, he's very busy. He has a lot to deal with. It's not just the trail. So I can speak to him on that, and we'll see if we can get some results out of that method, perhaps.
Peak time, 8:30 to 10 and 3 to 4:30. And that, you know, like, hey, most people are retired, everybody's off work or whatever, but that's when people walk. And I generally go in 3 to 4:30-ish.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's quite a few at the end of the afternoon. I think the thinking is that there won't be anybody in the forest. Right.
What about some kind of signage a little way into the forest, like not right at the gate, we already have that, but what about just a little ways in, a reminder sign, reminder, this is not an off-leash area for your dog, and then put the bylaw number down, whatever the heck, and, you know, make it look a bit more official, and then that maybe some of the people will pay attention, because they're not looking at the big load of signs as they go in.
No. And also the one sign at the East Crescent Gate, when it was put in, it's way over on the left-hand side. And actually, one lady's brought it up to me a couple of times that, gee, when you come in that gate, you don't even kind of see that sign. It's kind of way off on the left, like towards the Crown Mansion. She's proposed moving that over. I don't know. Maybe.
I think that sign was in that location because do you recall when the trail actually was over in that location?
Yeah.
So I think we relocated the trail and the entrance. Now everyone sticks to the west side when they enter. So it makes sense just to, I mean, that would be a simple modification.
Are the poop bag dispensers still there?
Yeah.
It is on that. Worth it.
Maybe that would be a good spot to put that sign.
I think they're consolidated, are they not?
They are. Yeah, the poop
sorry, go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah, they hang right off the aluminum pole.
Okay.
Yeah.
But on the East Crescent side, Tony, it would be good because, you know, actually, after she mentioned that, I've gone over and looked at it a few times and thought, yeah, it is kind of way off on the left-hand side.
I've noticed that as well.
Could be moved?
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay. On a similar related thing, I noticed 2 days ago I was driving past the Hemsworth Gate, and this guy on a bicycle went whipping into the forest, and he didn't even slow down at the gate. He didn't slow down. So is there a way to tighten that up a bit and still have strollers go through but not people like that?
Speed bumps.
Logs.
No, I'm kidding.
Logs. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just was absolutely floored that the speed he went. Like, he was using it as part of a cycling track, which is going to tear up a lot of stuff, you know. Because I imagine every time he comes across a pedestrian on the path, he just zigs around them, which will get into the forest a bit. Is that, he was not just ambling through for a nice walk, cycle.
Hopefully it was just a random... Just a random guy, just a one time. I mean, if other people notice it, they should report him or.
How do you report that? The guy with cycle went by.
Yeah, I know. And how do you enforce it?
Take a picture.
Yeah.
Fun. It has come up, Angie, over the years, you know, speeding cyclists. And one thing is, you know, that some people didn't realize back when was that Heritage Forest, it is on the cycle route for the town.
Is it?
Yeah, like there's a map. And so it is, it's an approved place to cycle.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That doesn't sound compatible with a lot of walkers. Yeah.
Well, generally, I mean, every now and again this comes up and somebody's going too fast and, but, you know.
Okay.
What do you do?
So I hope he's a minority.
Well, Angie, I'm a cyclist and, I can tell you that, I'm not interested in cycling in Heritage Forest because there are too many two-legged speed bumps.
It's not
a convenient place to go cycling. So I would think this might be a one-off.
Okay.
Case of point A to point B, like to get from the East Crescent side out to Village Way or something like that.
Yeah.
Hike through.
Okay.
Well, a couple of other things before we get to the assault. We had two big windstorms in October, another big windstorm in November. We'll probably get something else too. There's been more branches come down, I think, than we've seen, in the past. And so what I'm thinking is to put it out to the society members. We've got a couple hundred members. To come out and with a rake, gloves, good footwear, socially distanced, and just grab those branches and just throw them, you know, back into the forest, where they'll decompose. And so, I'm thinking, you know, to do that in the spring once it warms up and stuff.
Yep.
Is that creating a new fire hazard for the summer if we have all this dry brush that's been tossed in the bush?
No.
No.
There's lots of stuff on the ground now, but the idea to get it just away from the side is, even though it is well fined about cigarette smoking during extreme hazards, you know, the odd cigarette butt is still found on occasion. And so that's the idea, is to reduce the potential for fire hazard and just to throw it back out there. And the trick is, Angie, when you get stuff on the ground, it'll decompose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very. I've got a whole yard full of it here. Yeah.
And quickly, because we're in the rainforest, you know, it'll decompose, you know, quite quickly.
I think what you have to remember is that when you're discarding or placing that debris into the forest, that you don't pile it, right?
Yeah.
So it's evenly dispersed. And I think that's what you're talking about. That's where you get the fire hazard situation where debris is piled.
Okay. Where it has a possibility of drying. The top part would be dry then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the ecosystem goes, you need to refuel the forest with the debris. So you need to keep it in there. But stacking is the mistake that people make. And then it doesn't look natural as well. So just evenly dispersing it. And that's what we try to do in our trails when we have a windfall or something, when we have to cut a tree out of a trail. We try not to stack all the wood in like one location. We try to disperse it. Even though there are chainsaw cuts, we try to make it look more natural the way it's dispersed.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Okay, on that, Tony, there's a couple of things. And I don't know if you guys with parks, if you have different people come out with the chainsaws at different times, but there's two down trees that the guys have bucked through, but they've left all the branches, like all the live limbs, on the crown.
Okay.
And that's a dandy place to start a fire in the summer. I keep going in with my brush axe and saw a handsaw and cutting that stuff off. And the last time I did it, I thought, you know what, the guys are there with the chainsaw. They're there. Just, there's two of them. There's one on the back side of the loop trail.
Okay.
Right kind of where you and I bumped into around Christmas there.
Right.
Right there. And then there's another one over on the St. Andrews side when you come in off the end of Hoy Lake, hang a left.
Okay.
And there's another one there. And that first fire that we had in the summer of 2017, it was a mistletoe-infected hemlock, and the crown had snapped, and it's exactly that. It was a big elevated crown, a little bit of gasoline or something.
And right. So slash it, slash those down.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But they're actually quite massive crowns, and it's more than I want to do with my brush saw.
For sure. Okay.
Also, just kind of on that, when the guys go in, if they can cut things in longer lengths,
mm-hmm.
kind of cutting stuff off in kind of long firewood, kind of like 18 inches.
Yeah.
And if they can, like with one guy on either end, if it's possible to kind of roll it or, you know, whatever, get it back out into the forest, and they'll last longer.
Yeah,
it's kind of a longer length. Maybe become a nurse log for hemlock season, that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
versus these smaller. I've had several people approach me about firewood cutters in the forest.
Right.
You did have that, but there are a couple of locations where the guys have bucked them. They're heavier than I can lift. I tried again yesterday, and they're really heavy for one person. And but if they cut them in longer lengths and then back into the bush.
Sure. Yeah. So as you know, I'm just recently back in parks. I haven't been in parks for very long, and so I will touch base with the crew about that. I think in some situations they will be coming in and doing the entire town. So after a big storm event, they'll be coming in and just basically opening everything up, and they're not really thinking. I'm thinking that's why we're seeing this right now, is they're not really thinking about, you know, dispersing it properly, leaving longer lengths, just like I actually said that we do, and they haven't been doing. I think they're just opening up the trails and then moving on to the next one. But they should go back for sure and just try to, like, disperse it and make it look more natural. Like you said, leave longer lengths. Well, you and I know we're on the same page as that. So I will remind the crew, and it is different people all. It can be different people all the time. So I will remind the crew in general on the forum and to practice that when they go in there and open the trails up.
That'd be super.
Sure, no problem.
Another maintenance item is I went in and cleaned culverts the other day. Did a bunch of work in there the last couple of days. But there's one culvert by the Sitka Spruce sign. When you come in from the East Crescent Gate,
yeah,
there's one there that Ryan put in years ago, but it's probably too small for the location there, and it's closed.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So when we had heavy rain, it's jammed up, but when we did have the heavy rain, the water was running across the trail. And I keep looking at it, and yeah, there's a little bit of water that is coming out of the downspout side, but I can't get at it like with a pole or something to kind of clean it out.
Okay.
It's bigger than me.
And is that the one that outlets in towards Beach Creek? Like
yeah.
It's on the old road? Okay.
Yeah, it's on the old road.
Yeah, I'm aware. Like where we've had some like soil failures, a couple of trees fail in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, actually more towards the Crown Mansion from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know where you're speaking of.
Okay. Okay, and there's one more thing. Okay, so what happens on the road is, you know, the old Bobby Brown's Road, Chester into the Crown Mansion, mm-hmm. right? Just the fire access road. So it's heavily compacted gravel, and it doesn't drain. And so anywhere where we've got a dip, like a concave depression, that organic debris collects. And, like, the water doesn't drain. There's a really bad spot that I've cleaned off a few times with a snow shovel, but it takes me about 2 days to do it. And it's right by the 500-year... Douglas Fir timeline. It's right next door.
Yeah.
So what happens? The water runs down that road. It's like a river. you go in a really heavy rain, it's like a river running down, and all of the organic debris collects in a depression there, and it's about 4 inches, maybe 5 of just muck. And so I've cleaned it out by hand in the past, but it's a lot of work. And one year, I mentioned it to Cam when he was still working with you guys. He said, hey, why don't we take the street sweeper in there and just sweep it out? My God, that's brilliant. Really? That was, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, probably now. But, man, that was just a beauty. And so what happens, again, is any depression, it fills up with, it's just organic debris, the leaves and stuff. But anyway, that area is really just a mucky area that will continue. Now, when Bert was the caretaker in the barn, in the little suite in there, there was a pile of gravel left on the side of the fire access road out towards Chester, and it's still there. And the idea with Bert was he was supposed to fill the pothole. Well, of course, he never did. And too busy, I guess. And so there is a pile of gravel there that, again, I thought, you know, okay, could take a pick and shovel and a wheelbarrow and yada yada, but it's kind of a big job. Is that something that the town could do? Because the gravel's quite close to the biggest depression that's right next to the Douglas Fir 500-year timeline. Is that something the town could do?
The town could do that.
Yeah, yep. Gravel's right there.
It wouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Assault?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that was January 1st, and to the merit of the RCMP, what happened that morning was a couple of other people had called it into the RCMP, and so they were en route by the time one of the Brown Property Preservation Society members called it into the RCMP, so they were there quite quickly. But the man was naked, and he did physically assault her. And so anyway, I mean, it was a one-off. He was obviously on drugs and was a little bit quite out of his head. But he is going to court this month, February, sometime. And, you know, not that there's anything anybody can do about some nut out running around, but I thought we should just, you know, be aware that it was more than a tree fairy out running through the forest naked, you know, playing the pan flute. It was a major concern to the lady in question. She was quite distraught about it. So I thought I should bring it up to the group.
I think that's a first for the forest.
Yeah,
I think we have.
Sure.
We've had some campers, but nothing like that. So on the lighter side, actually, I checked the 3 owl nest boxes yesterday. 2 out of the 3 are used, and I put new bedding material in there. And the 3 songbird boxes, also, 2 out of the 3 songbird boxes were being used.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny, I find that, like, just outside the forest, my place is just on Quatna, quite close, we have new streetlights, and oh my God, they're so bright, and you could write letters sitting out there in the night, and I have owls normally, I have quite a lot of owls, and I wonder what's going to happen it might be interesting to see how the patterns change, if they do, because of this increased lighting. I mean, I see that there's some benefit to the increased lighting, but the one bad thing I see is the disturbances at night, you know. Just an observation.
Yeah, I spoke to the guys when they were coming through Qualicum here, and they had 500 or 550, I think, was the contract of new streetlights. So they changed them all.
Yeah. And they're very bright. I have
to say they haven't changed the one in front of my house.
Oh.
And funny enough, there were owls hooting outside of my house last night.
Okay.
Yeah, well, when you get your lights, they might not go there.
Yeah, they're probably from the owls at my house are probably from the owls that were in front of your house.
They moved, I know. And when outside your window, it always seems like you're talking to an owl 5 blocks away, you know, because they don't tone it down.
No.
Yeah. Well, kind of on that, like along Hemsworth, like they hunt along Hemsworth. I think because there is a little bit of light, or was, you know, a little bit, maybe there's a lot now, but to see the rabbit or the mouse or, you know, whatever, scamper.
I don't use pesticides at all, and never have here, and I get them sitting out on my lawn, and they pull out worms. It's quite funny to watch. Like, they actually pull out worms.
Wow.
Because they seem to know that this is a safe place.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw it, one of my kids said, "Mom, there's an owl on the lawn." And I said, "No, that's not an owl." He said, "Yeah, it's an owl." I said, "It's a cat." And then it flew away.
You have flying cats in your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, yeah, they sit there and they pull up worms. I wouldn't have believed it. But I've had it, like, all through the summer, especially. I will have owls on my lawn 2 or 3 nights a week.
Huh.
So, pretty busy place.
It's breeding season for the owls and the bald eagles in February and chicks in July. So I've been noticing in the forest the bald eagles are really getting feisty over there. Screeching and howling and carrying on.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. and don't see activity on the bat houses yet. People keep asking about that. Keep looking for little scratch marks or maybe some poop, you know, down at the bottom, this kind of stuff. But again, the literature supported that, hey, it might take 10 years or so, you know, for the bats to actually find the Hilton Hotel. Hmm. So we'll see.
So, Tom, I've got a question for you. it's kind of a public safety issue in a sense. Have there ever been any incidents of eagles taking cats or dogs in this area?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I witnessed a taking event over by Bowser where my brother lives at Nile Creek. He lives right on the ocean. And I was in there for a bit of a visit, and he was looking out and said, "Look at that eagle." I looked up. And it had a poodle in its talons as it was going by.
Wow.
Oh, kind of a horrific thing. Oh. And so they're telling me that they have an eagle tree in their backyard, and they regularly find cat collars below it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's just something to be aware of, that they are predators. They do interact with people indirectly through their pets.
That might be a deterrent for the off-leash dog walker.
I think you'd be encouraging it.
That would make a great sign.
Yeah, can you imagine the big dogs? They wouldn't even notice. They wouldn't even notice.
Any other issues we need to talk about?
Well, what about the off-leash dog walk thing? Okay, so Tony, we're going to move that one sign over at East Crescent. We've got six entrances into the forest. You should know, too, that someone approached me just a couple of days ago about having the St. Andrews Lane side of the forest designated as an off-leash dog walk area because the little old ladies like to walk there with their dogs off the leash. I suggested that's in complete contravention of the conservation covenant. It's in contravention of the current town bylaw. I don't think that's ever going to happen, that the town would change the bylaw to designate a portion of the heritage forest as being okay as off-leash dog walking. I also suggested that if that ever did happen, it would be overrun with off-leash dogs.
Yeah.
And it would no longer be the quiet little oasis that the people have over there. It's kind of a, it's kind of their own little section of the forest. It's quite quiet over there, but I don't know, I think that's just a really bad idea.
Qualicum Beach is surrounded by forest. You'd think that between two off-leash parks plus the forest all around us, there should be a place to walk the dog without a leash, without taking anything away from this, our forest here. We don't need off-leash here.
Well, one of the things with off-leash dog walking is it does deter wildlife from breeding, feeding, you know, perching, you know, whatever. And the Conservation Covenant is all about maintaining that forest as a wildlife refuge. Little 50-acre refuge in the middle of Qualicum Beach. I sure don't think we want to, you know, be chipping away at that.
No, I don't. And as you say, the covenant itself, too, addresses the, I think it's the quiet enjoyment of the forest itself, and the dogs are off-leash and disturbing people to the degree that they won't go into the forest. I think that's a contravention of the agreement we made years ago.
It is.
Because the covenant.
It is. And just, what do we do about it?
Well, I think as we discussed, I think maybe initially get our bylaw officer to issue warnings, and then if there's a repeat violation, to ticket them. I think that's the only way you're going to get their attention.
So what is a ticket? A ticket is a fine?
Yes.
Okay.
Might be $50.
Well, whatever. It gets their attention.
Well, mm-hmm. Obviously it's not happening right now. And, mm-hmm. You know, if people are not going into the forest for that very reason, then we need to do something.
Mm-hmm. I think so. It's I know, and I've spoken to Don about it over the years several times, and he has advised us not to approach people, you know, you could get a punch in the nose.
Well, that goes with the territory, though, Tom. If he's the law bylaw enforcement officer, he has a responsibility to enforce the bylaw. The fact that he might get a punch in the nose is not relevant.
No, no, not Don a punch in the nose. You or me a punch in the nose.
Oh, yeah, okay. No problem there, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I do know that people have said, like just citizens, walkers, hey, that dog's supposed to be on the leash, and they've got some, you know, verbal abuse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Been there.
Mind your own business.
Yeah.
You know,
well, or words to that effect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Well, is there any need for a, Jack, is there any need for a motion from the commission with respect to the increased enforcement surveillance?
I think there is, and maybe we could formulate it in a manner that, you know, initially a warning, subsequent violations, a ticket, something to that effect. So, yes, I agree. We should make a motion to council to that effect.
Well, I would suggest that we don't specify the enforcement action, that we ask for increased surveillance, enforcement surveillance, and leave the action then up to...
Okay. Do you want to propose that motion?
You know, let's put forward a motion that the commission recommends increased enforcement activity with respect to off-leash dog walking in the forest, particularly at high-use times.
I.e. early morning, late afternoon.
Okay. Do we have a seconder for that motion?
Yay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Yay.
Go fast. Okay. Thank you.
I think there needs to be something, because what's happening now isn't working.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Can we move on to, I don't think we have anything from council to discuss according to the agenda, do we?
No.
Okay.
There's just this one more thing.
Okay.
Okay. So, so with the Society of Volunteers, we completed the chip trail. I don't know, probably about 4 years ago now. We kind of completed.
About 4 years ago. Yeah.
Feels like about that much.
Yeah.
And so the St. Andrews side trails, they're still in great shape because, quite frankly, not very many people walk over there. The other trails, like coming in from East Crescent, coming in from Hemsworth especially, you know, the chips, they do get worn, and it is worn down to mud in several locations, and we do have exposed roots. Tony, what we've done in the past is the town has come in with gravel to kind of lay up around the roots to kind of keep it in place a little better, and then we've gone over top with the chips. I'm just not sure if we have enough volunteers to actually come out on a kind of a project like that. Stream keepers in the past have been very supportive, and probably several of those guys would come out. I'm just not sure if it's time. Because we've had so much increased use over the last year, like the trails really got worn, kind of all of a sudden, you know. I don't know if it's time to do some of that chip work, or whether with the pandemic and social distancing and, like, it's not a panic, or, you know, doesn't have to be done in 2021. We could certainly do it in 2022, and we're all vaccinated and safe and stuff. Maybe that's a better approach. But I just thought I would just bring it up that at some point, we should probably consider doing some of that wood chip on the trail, and which the chips are stated in the conservation covenant that be the material that's used.
Are you speaking of resurfacing the entire trail or just spot treatment?
Well, maybe spot treatment, Tony, because it took us. I think it took us 3 years. And back when, like, we'd get 20 people come out, you know, but I know that with the society, when I put out an email blitz, it's more like 3 people come out. But we have had a whole bunch of new members. So, you know, maybe we would get some more people. And I don't know if it's even a problem that there's tree roots. I kind of like seeing the tree roots. It's very natural. And I sort of have a feeling like if you can't lift your feet to get over the tree roots, then maybe the Heritage Forest is not the place you should be walking.
Yeah.
Right? There's that about it. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm not going back. I know going back 5 to 10 years maybe now, but when we did an extensive covering up the trail with chips, the town supplied a small tractor and a trailer to take the chips from a central location to wherever it needed to be done in the past. That worked. I think that worked really well, because the last time we did it, we were wheelbarrowing loads of chips from a central location. That's tough, especially I'm a little older now. You wouldn't know it, but I'm a little older than I was then, and. You know, if the town could supply something to the order of the tractor and a little trailer, I think it'd make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Tom, I'm thinking one thing we could do too is draw on other resources. For example, the Qualicum Woods Residents Association wasn't running at that point, and now we've been sort of underway for 4 or 5 years, and I don't know what's going to happen. We have an annual general meeting coming up soon, and we normally would not do it by Zoom, so I'm not sure if our membership will drop. But we have some pretty active people, and we also have the beginnings of a newsletter. We put it out, one issue out in the fall, with
through Facebook and to the membership only, and we're getting another one ready right now to put out that will be a mail-out. It'll be our only mail-out because it costs money to do that. And so we have ways to contact people. So if you were to want us something like that where you want manpower, then talk to me and we can get it in the newsletter or we can email our members or put it on our Facebook page.
Okay.
So that might just get you more people that are willing.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great idea, Angie. That's great. And it's not that it has to be done right now. We've got this pandemic on the go, social distancing, wearing masks. Maybe this summer is not the summer to do it. Next summer.
Yeah, right? I agree. I think you're right.
One other thought, too, to just hit back on the dog walking thing, what if we ask the town to put a reminder in the town tidings thing that shows up in the newspaper once a month? Like, there's one page for Parksville, there's one page for Qualicum Beach, when all the, you know, issues are touched upon. It's a pretty light touch, but we could maybe have a reminder put in there that we have two dog walk parks and that the Heritage Forest is not a dog, an unleashed dog area. Like,
yeah,
maybe that should be out there in the paper.
Yeah.
You know, so that the people that are just not with knowledge will know, and the people that are busy disregarding it all will at least know that, hey, you know, there are rules and I'm breaking them. And for some people, they're not going to care, but it might touch a few.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
So, Tony, that would be a town thing to get make that happen?
I can do that. For sure.
Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
Yeah. That it?
Good idea.
Anything else?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay, that being the case, can I have a motion for adjournment, please?
Do we have to pick the next meeting date before you do that, or is that
It's Thursday, May 6th.
Okay, I don't have it written down. Okay, thank
you.
Yeah,
you have the second page of your agenda, right at the bottom.
First Thursday.
Yes, got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Perfect.
So, a motion for adjournment, please.
Yeah.
Also moved.
Second. All in favor? Thank you all very much. Stay healthy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.